Welcome to episode 45 of the Real Estate Agent Podcast. Today is sponsored by MailRight. That's MailRight.com. Today we have a top producer on. That's Pat Hyben. Pat Hyben has been in real estate for 28 years. He's a top producer. He's written books. He's a speaker, and he's got a great podcast at Hyben Digital. You can go to HybenDigital.com. Also, I can't forget, he's got a digital project coming online, and it's a horizontal digital product. That means it's for entrepreneurs and others, but real estate agents can use it too. Well, without further ado, let's get right into this episode with Pat and Jonathan and me. To Google Plus, there we are. We are live on Google Plus Hangouts. Hey, today we've got Pat Hyben on the Real Estate Agent Show. And I'm excited. He is a good sport. He just did some amazing things because we're going to be up both on the Blab stream as well as YouTube and, of course, the podcast and many other places. So, Pat, thank you for being a good sport coming to us from I know it's South Carolina.
It's Folly Beach. It's right Folly outside Beach. Of Charleston.
Okay, very good. Is it south of Charleston?
Yeah, it's about 15 minutes on the water. I live on the beach.
About 80 or 90 miles from where I used to live on Tybee Island.
Nice.
So anyway, Jonathan, he's here. Jonathan's more of a tech side, works in the development, and he's actually learned all about real estate this last year. I've been 25 years as a broker, developer, and a couple agencies, done a lot of other things in the meantime. And Pat, a little bit about yourself. You have been in real estate for about the same amount of time at least. How many years?
28.
28. You beat me out by a couple years. And you've got a podcast. We've got something good there. And you're doing a lot of different things. So what are you doing now? What's been your background in real estate? How'd you start?
So traditionally, I was always a real estate agent. Then I became a real estate kind of team leader who built a team. Then I sold my team to a partner on my team who is now a partner. Sold half of it to him in Maryland. He runs it. I essentially moved to South Carolina, and he runs it. I began I've always invested in real estate, and then I started investing in small companies. So now I have 54 lines of income that pay me horizontal rather than vertical, meaning like, you know, making more every year doing the same job going.
Right.
I just live off of that. I do the podcast as a way to give back. I am creating a couple of products this year that will be intellectual property for me that essentially be horizontal streams, but they help real estate agents get better.
So are you building like learning management systems, LMS, for online digital products?
Exactly, yeah, exactly, like a university course.
We have another show called WP Tonic, and we just went over 2 months of LMS training, and we're working on the funnel and some other things right now for the WordPress show. It's number two in the category in iTunes.
I saw that, and I've already subscribed.
Oh, thanks, Matt.
Jonathan, go away. Jonathan, I'll let Jonathan take the rest of the show, and I'll have the magic timer on, not the rest of the show, but the rest of this portion, and drive on.
Oh, thanks, Pat, for coming on. I know we've had some technical troubles, but you've been a great sport, Pat. I'm really excited that you agreed to come on the show. I've listened to a number of your podcasts. They're great stuff. I just want to go through a couple of your recent shows and then maybe ask you some general questions where you think the real estate industry is going. How does that sound, Pat?
Yeah, that sounds great.
So let's start off with a little bit of I wouldn't say a terrible controversial, but you had a little bit of a really interesting discussion between Sam Bebold, which I thought his interview was excellent. He came across as a really great broker and highly intelligent. And Tommy, how do you pronounce it?
Sowers.
Sowers. What's your reflecting back? Have you come to any conclusions about which one might be more right than the other?
That's great. When I was doing it, and the cool thing is, I also had a guy named Jay Samet who wrote a book called.
I'm sorry, Pat. Can you give a quick outline what the discussion was about?
Yeah, sure. So as everybody knows, there's been industries in the last decade that have been disrupted. It kind of started out with the travel agent business where travel agents made commissions. Those commissions were basically obliterated, and then the consumers, what the consumer paid got you know, less. It benefited the consumer. Then you had the taxi or the black car industry disrupted by Uber and Lyft. Then you had the mortgage industry disrupted by Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage, where they cut out mortgage officers' commissions. And if you go straight to the robot, you save a percentage or so. And then you had insurance, where it started out with Geico with the 800 number, and then it went to Esurance, again with the computer, and you save money, up to 45% they're advertising now on Esurance. So the same thing, there's a target on the back of the real estate agent commission, and there's a lot of people vying to disrupt it. No one has yet to successfully disrupt it and hold on to that disruption like Esurance has or Rocket Mortgage has. So a company came out by the name of SoloPro, and SoloPro is attempting to disrupt the commission so that agents, and it has over 1,000 agents, can get an app, and if they want to show a house for $50, they can show it and make $50, and then they're able to, if you as a consumer are able to buy the house or do buy the house, you get the commission, whatever the full commission, right? There's no split with a broker, right?
Through
SoloPro. Now, if you are with a broker, let's say you're with Remax or Keller Williams or whatever, of course you got to pay that broker. You got to be licensed somewhere, but other than that, there's no split with SoloPro. So today in their model, today's model, so Sam got on an Inman blog and blasted Tommy Sowers, and they started to go back, you know, tit for tat, back and forth. A lot of people got involved, and so I had Tommy on the show. I had Sam on the show, who's a writer for Realtor Magazine, and then I had Jay Samet on the show, who's a disruption expert, and he compared it to the other industries that have been disrupted, and he agreed with Tommy Sowers that it did have a target on its back, and that there was in store a huge reduction in the amount of real estate licenses and a huge reduction in the commission that a consumer pays a real estate agent. Now, Sam said that it's absolutely not, that it will brush away like help you sell and save six and all that has in the past. So that's the consensus of it. And then back to answering the question, you know, afterwards, I started thinking about it. At first, I was like, you know what, 100% from a business standpoint, because I have invested in 16 other private businesses. And in addition to my real estate stuff, so it makes a lot of sense. It's exciting in that sense that that the commissions are there and that they're primed to be picked because they are large. I mean, that's why I got into real estate and that's why I stayed in real estate, because it was so lucrative and I could make thousands of dollars selling something rather than hundreds or single dollars in commission selling something else. So I agree that they are probably much larger than most salespeople make as far as commissions. Now, my original thought was that, yes, they got a good point. As time has gone on, I'm starting to lean more with Sam in that, you know, is this just another blip? Because it is so hard. Real estate transactions are so hard and the consumers are so hard. I heard a statistic the other day that last year, 2015, the average age of a seller was 67. So, you know, if the average age of a seller is 67, are they really going to say, let me just put my house in the MLS myself on a computer, right? Is that going to happen overnight? I don't know. I think some time has to evolve before that happens. Am I making sense? So my views have changed. I don't think as strongly that I did originally that we're going to implode, that the real estate commissions will implode tomorrow. At first I thought, hey, next 5 years, man, these commissions are going down. You know, I still think it's ripe for picking, but I at the same time I think it's going to be a long, slow process. How's that for an answer?
It's very thoughtful, and thank you for sharing that, Pat. Do you want my two pennies worth?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
I listened to both arguments, and I do kind of agree for the time being with Sam, basically. You can never say no, though, because we are in a dramatic period of technology and artificial intelligence, and a number of professions from law to various things are going to be affected, Pat. But one of the factors is that this is one of the biggest purchases that almost any consumer is going to do, buying a house. And it's a very emotional purchase. And can you imagine most buyers and sellers directly negotiating without somebody in the middle or two people in the that's not totally emotionally connected to the negotiation? What I've seen when people are directly negotiating with something that's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars plus, it tends to deteriorate rapidly into a mess. And the actual purchase of property is not exactly getting on the paperwork side, and on the legal side, it's not exactly getting easier, is it, Pat? It's actually getting harder.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they're obviously selling real estate, being an effective agent or broker in 2016, and in the next 5 years is rapidly going to change. But the disruption that Tommy was talking about, I really don't see that happening.
Yeah, no, yep, I agree.
You're gone, Bill.
No, I was going to say I hadn't seen this. This is really new. You know, I went back to the military and finished up active duty, and I was doing something for 5 years, and so much has changed so fast. So I think things are changing, and I've always wondered about that commission, because we've had a couple, three companies, Better Homes and Gardens, GMAC, and then Individual. We still have one in California, and we had one here in Reno, but we tested a discount model years ago, and the hand-holding needed in a real estate transaction by most people, it's difficult for them to trust themselves. It's such a big money purchase for them, you know, to get a trusted real estate agent to work with, I think still works. So it'll be tough to beat that.
I think that's very insightful, Bill, because that's the same situation, Pat, with website design and development. Actually working very inexperienced clients, they normally have a total misunderstanding how much work goes into a fully custom website, not only on the coding side, but the discovery and all the other aspects of building a website. And they normally want it at a very low price, but they still expect all the hand-holding, all the other elements. And in the end, it's really very easy not only not to make any money, but a substantial loss. So I think that's one of the other factors. What do you feel about that, Pat?
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. You know, it's certainly there are going to be consumers out there, especially younger consumers, that are going to be aggressive and say, you know, if I'm going to buy a $300,000 house and the commission is X, you know, damn right, I'm gonna pay $50 to get it shown, and they have a thing where it's $800 and they hold your hand through the same thing, and I think that there are competent people out there that will do it for to hold your hand and put together the whole transaction and be the negotiator and that sort of thing for $800. And I think there's competent people that will show you the house, just like there's competent people that you trust your life in when you drive with a Lyft driver or an Uber driver for $50. So I think there are going to be people that use the model. But right now in America, with the average age of the seller being 67, I don't see it. I think there's a gap there in age. I think, you know, if the average age was 37 of a seller, you'd have a lot more people using something like this. But it will. I do think it's every other industry is being disrupted. I do think that there will be some disruption. I do think there'll be an erosion of commission. I do think that, you know, 10 years from now, we're not going to be talking about agents getting the same commission they are. And, you know, quite frankly, they're not today. You know, when I started, the commission's about 2% less than what it was when I started. So there has been a gradual decline in commission, but it's taken a long time.
Jonathan, one thing about commission and real estate agents, there's some laws that preclude us from actually discussing about what a typical commission is. Well, Pat, I don't know how it is. It varies state by state. But
I don't talk
commissions. What I can say is we know from the reports and reading that in the Bay Area, where I'm over in Reno now, or they have $1 million plus houses and listings. The competitive listings run between 4 and 4.5% for the $1 million houses. So it's definitely dropped from 6% traditional in the old days.
But, and I think there's various factors that is causing that. You know, we, you know, apart from the bust between 2008 and let's say 2012, historically property for the past 15 years has been on a very rapid upturn in prices.
2008, no.
But no, I was saying, but in like in the Bay Area, that that deep recessionary period only quietened the market down.
Agree.
I want to go on, Pat.
Hey, Jonathan, Jonathan, I want to jump to a quick break and we'll leave the YouTube up.
Are you fed up buying back the data from the big online companies only to find out that they are poor quality, inexpensive leads? Let us help you, the professional real estate agent, build your online fan club from the people in your local community who already know and trust you. They need to remember you when it comes to buying and selling that next home. MailRite has developed a powerful online system that keeps you in front of the most powerful referral group, the people in your local sphere of influence who know, like, and trust you. So come on over to MailRite and check out the program.
Okay, folks, we're coming off the break. And Jonathan, why don't you finish up that last thought? Then we'll go and let me talk to Pat a couple minutes about his business and life and success principles.
Oh, thanks, Bill. I was saying, Pat, what kind of final question of the in, let's say in the past year of the guests that you've had on the podcast, is there any one or two of them that really or subjects that you that really stick in your mind that you thought had something that was really quite surprising or interesting?
Well, that's a great question. They're all good. I'm gonna talk about one that actually that I did today, and I'm probably gonna release it next week, the week after next, because he asked me to release it. But there's a guy named Blair Myers who is out of Macon, Georgia, and he is overtly gay. I mean, he's gay. He's very gay. He wears makeup. You know, spray tans like a couple times a week. He's flamboyantly gay. And he was talking about growing up in the Bible Belt, where they told him to conform and dress like a man, or dress, you know, more manly, so to speak. And he went up against that and said, no, this is how I was born. You know, this is how I feel. I feel like dressing like this, or being like this, or acting like this, and stayed true to himself. And here he is now. He's the number one real estate agent in all of the Bible Belt. He's over 400 houses, going on 500 houses, which is a lot for that area, and a ton. And he's got his own reality TV show on the Oxygen Network. He's been on different shows on TLC, and he's got like a whole bunch of cars running around town with his picture and billboards and all kinds of amazing stuff. And, you know, for me, that was it was extremely inspirational for me personally, because, you know, here's a guy that's like most real estate agents, almost all real estate agents that I know, conform to get money. Now, some people would say it's selling your soul, right? Some people say, oh, you know, you're doing that because you're trying to earn money. It's the same thing, I guess, as shaving or putting on a tie, right? You're trying to impress somebody, so you do that for fear of you might not get the listing if someone sees you in the supermarket unshaven without your tie, which could happen. And we talked about some people that I've, you know, talked about, you know, agents being pregnant, not wanting the consumer to know they were pregnant. Agents having cancer, not wanting the consumer to know they have cancer because they thought that the consumer would hold it against them. And compare that to how he, you know, never, ever, ever, ever for a second let something that in his mind he might get rejection for, especially there in Macon, Georgia, being gay, right? I'm not going to list with that guy. He's gay. Right, and used it to a benefit of saying, hey, yeah, I'm gay, but that's a way for you to remember me, you know, that guy, and it's worked to his benefit, and he turned it around. So I really enjoyed talking to him, and it was very interesting, and it's and I understand why he's successful, because he's just taking something, taking an insecurity that most people might have, and most gay men probably do have, and that's why it takes him so long to come out of the closet, and turned it into something that he was just like, hey, I'm, you know, this is me, take me as I am, but I'm a badass real estate agent, I'm going to get your house sold, but yeah, I, you know, wear makeup, and boom, it's worked for him. So that was really neat.
Oh, that was a fantastic answer, Patrick. Thank you for that. We're going to go on to my co-host, and my co-host has got some questions around your success principles, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick. The males who were our interior decorators for our company were all gay. So I can relate to that, and a unique environment, especially out west in California. But another thing that happens, too, is, especially out in the peninsula in San Francisco, is you might have the gay community sort of holds to itself somewhat, too. I mean, they vary, but it's a unique community, so he might have been picking up other relationships that somebody who's straight would not pick up or more open-minded. But that is the Bible Belt, that's for sure. Well, here's the thing is, we want to look at your three life and success principles that make you successful in your background and what you've done. And the first one you said is hard work. What does that mean to you?
So, you know, I think that nothing great comes without sacrifice. You know, I get a lot of young people saying, you know, wanting a free lunch, wanting to win the lottery, you know, or wanting to just, you know, go from zero savings to $1 million in savings. And it just doesn't happen like that. It didn't happen for me like that. You get rich slowly, you get rich by, and you have success by working hard. I remember when my book came out, Six Steps to Seven Figures, I wanted to get on the bestseller list, and I asked one of my mentors, Gary Keller, I said, who's written, you know, like five best-selling books. I said, you know, what I want to do is build a Facebook following, and I want to advertise it to all these people on Facebook, and I'm going to sell 10,000 copies that way. You needed 9,000 to get on the list. And I remember him saying to me, Pat, that will never, ever, 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 ever happen. Yeah. He said, you know, he said that when my first bestseller, I went and spoke at real estate offices for over a year speaking to agents about my book before I released it and started selling it. And he basically was saying, hey, you can't, you know, you got to work. You got to bust your ass if you want success. So I took that advice, and I went on book tour, and I spoke at like 53 offices over a seven-month period, and I was able to get on the bestseller list. But it was a lot of time and a lot of effort, and it consumed my life for 7 months. But it was worth it, there was no free lunch.
That totally makes sense. Now, that's one thing that's always common is hard work. The people who succeed, it seems like, half the time, that's one of their top three. The other one is one of the top three, too, is focus. What does focus mean to you?
Well, I think we live in a busy world. You know, there's so many things that distract us. And, you know, I think that that a lot of people now lack focus. I mean, I was having a conversation with someone the other day about the benefits of college. And you know, I'm in a men's community called GoBundance, and there's a lot of successful millionaires who never attended college. And I said, you know, one thing college did for me is number one, it socialized me, helped socialize me. But number two, it helped me to learn about deadlines, how to get stuff done under a deadline, right? You had projects, you have tests you have to study for, how to cram and get stuff done. And that requires focus. I mean, if you're gonna cram for a test, or you're going to do a project all in one night because you procrastinated, that is focus at its best. And I've been able to, if I have a task, let's say to put something together, to get something done, I know how to block everything else off and focus on it and get it done. And if that from a real estate perspective, you know, I was told early on to get listings, and the way to get listings is pick up the directory and just start calling everybody until you get an appointment. Don't leave the office until you get an appointment. So I was able to take that crisscross directory book, sit in a corner while all the other agents were dilly-dallying, and just call, and lo and behold, 3 o'clock rolls around and I get an appointment. And that's focus. And I think that's what led to my success, was that focus. Same thing with going to 53 offices and speaking about my book in 7 months all around the world, not the world, all around the country. That was focus, right? I could have said, oh, I'll go this month, and then 7 months later I'll go here, or and maybe I'll go here. No, I said, look, I'm going to go balls out in the next 7 months. Don't talk to me about anything else.
Very good. Focus. You know, it sounds like Mike Ferry there. We had a brokerage, so I went to some of Mark Ferry's brokerage conferences and they're trying to get the agent. They were very good, but that was him, man. Get the phone up and call. Yeah, that was his message. And focus. Very much so. And that worked. That will work. And I've seen some really good folks come into real estate who are from the bartending industry, bartenders, or even from the car industry. And if they knew how to focus and sell, they could do well.
Yeah, and they're used to working hard. I mean, bartenders, geez, I mean, they work 12, 14-hour shifts, you know. And same thing with cars, man. They'll stay there all day and all night. So, yeah, those are good industries to get into real estate, I think, because you got work ethic.
Right. Plus, the bartender gets practice talking to people. And if you don't like your bartender, you go away. You don't buy it from them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very, very good. Hey, so finally is faith. What does faith mean to you?
So if I say faith in almost like a belief. Sometimes I call it a naive nature, right, of you actually believing something that so many other people would believe not to be true, like, you know, believing that you can be a millionaire, or believing that you could sell 500 houses, or believing that you could be on a bestseller list. I think that most people are not that naive. They're like, no, there's no way I can do that. They're not going to even try. And I think so I'm blessed with this naivety, and or you could call it faith, where I do have faith that if I want that, I can do it. If I want to get on the bestseller list, I'm going to do it. If I want to, you know, be the number one agent at Remax or Keller Williams or whatever, I can do it. If I want to have a podcast or sell products that, you know, reaches X amount of downloads or whatever, I can do it. I just have to, number one, believe that I can, and focus on making that happen.
Yep, that sounds exactly what my interview from yesterday said. Very similar. In 4 months, he created a 15,000 mail list to the blog.
Wow. 15,000. I need to listen to that one.
I need to get that out right away, because usually I get them up faster. But he's got a new product launching on Monday. But here's the thing is, you talk about doing things last minute. He is switching over to something called Infusionsoft, which I wouldn't wish on my best friend to do. I have Infusionsoft, so
yeah,
it's a lot of work to do Infusionsoft. There's a whole story behind it.
I use MailChimp, but I heard Infusionsoft is. I mean, Infusionsoft is for the pros.
Well, I'll tell you what. The good transition for MailChimp now is to go over, I think, to Active Campaign. It looks pretty darn good. Even if I can figure it out, it's pretty easy. Hey, so Jonathan, we're finishing up the first part. Let's take a quick break and go into the last section. We're going to ask Pat how the listener can get a hold of him, anything the listener can do for you, so think about this. And then finally, we've got one last question from both of us.
Buying or selling a home in the greater Reno, Tahoe area? I know the best CRS real estate broker, and that's Karen Conrad. And you can find her at KarenConrad.com or call her directly at 775-527-7021.
Okay, coming off the break, Pat, we just want to know, how can the listener find you, get a hold of you?
Oh, easy. You could just go on Google and type my name. But Hyben Digital is the podcast site. We have over 300 interviews with successful real estate agents, real estate coaches, real estate investors, house flippers, anything and everything real estate. You can get my book, of course, on Amazon. You can buy a house from my real estate group that I have with Mike Sloan in Maryland by Hyben.com. So any of these are great ways to find me.
And I'll have that book on Timelines Netcast. Put in Pat, search Pat, and it'll pop right up. So I have that link there. Very good. So driving on, that's what the listener can do. Buy the book. Go ahead and buy the book. Listen to the podcast. Subscribe. And, you know, give a rating to the podcast. If you like it, give a rating.
No, yeah, that'd be great.
I'll give you a rating tonight, Pat. I try to do a couple ratings, two or three ratings each week. I listen to about two or three new podcasts. I'm really getting back into real estate podcasts. There's a lot of good information out there. Jonathan, any last thoughts? Any last questions?
Yeah, Pat, is there any kind of organization, cause, nonprofit that you would like the viewers, listeners to go to a website or something you would like to promote in the consciousness of anybody that's watching or listening to this show?
Yeah, sure. I'll give you one that is near to my heart because I'm involved in it. I have one of the things I do is I have two inner city kids that that I mentor currently, and it's through a program called Children of Incarcerated Parents. There's a lot of Children of Incarcerated Parents in every state. Mine is in Baltimore City. I don't know the website, but if you typed in Children of Incarcerated Parents, Baltimore City, it would come up. It's also run by Alternative Directions, which is an arm of the Job Corps. Is it Job Corps? Yeah, AmeriCorps. And so I've gotten two brothers who are brothers, and I try to take care of them best I can. You know, I was on my phone this morning with a Lyft trying to – this is the most bizarre thing. The poor kid, he got jumped twice. He got jumped last week, and then he got jumped on Monday on his way to school. They stole his iPhone, then the next time they stole his backpack. So I'm like, you know what, dude, I'm going to get you a Lyft. And I went to get him a Lyft, and then because Lyft allows you to send somebody else instead of yourself. And believe it or not, the people do the craziest things. I don't know what happened, but somehow she couldn't find him and he couldn't find her. So some knucklehead jumped in the damn Lyft and took the car and drove it and had him drive him somewhere. And then they charged me $9 for the for the thing. So I spent the morning trying to get my $9 back with Lyft so he can get a protected ride to school. And he ended up having to walk. But anyways, to answer your question, yeah, it's a charity that helps kids out that are in the inner city whose parents are in jail.
Well, Pat, we've enjoyed this podcast, and you've got a great podcast yourself. So we look forward to that and coming back, and we'll look at your progress here. Good luck on your digital products. When they get closer to getting out, give us a call and pop up on one of our shows and tell us about your digital products, maybe on the WP Tonic side.
I would love to.
Yes, I'd like to agree with my co-host. You've been a fantastic guest. I've really enjoyed it. And we had some technical problems and
patterns. No, we didn't. There's no technical. We just worked them through.
We worked.
I learned a lot. Sure. I thank you for teaching me.
I should have had this. I should have been Zooming this thing. Not Zooming it, but I should have been call recording it.
Next time. Next time we'll Zoom or whatever.
Screen flow.
I've already subscribed to the WordPress Tonic, so because that's how I'm going to grow mine. I'm assuming I think that's the best way to grow a podcast is just to submit blogs.
Yeah. So anyway, let's knock it out. See you over on Blab for a couple seconds.